QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for April 17, 2013. The Aries Audio E-Letter Report is a voice version of the Aries E-Letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries E-Letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el, or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. Here are the headlines. ARRL meets with FEMA Administrator Craig Fugit. Read all about it. CERT in action. New Hampshire's Aries Academy, a success. Froze Toes Bike Race, Missouri Aries Group Support. Letters, Batteries. Garrick 2013, June, Zurich, Switzerland. EasyPal does more than SSTV. TIP, Open Source Radio Programmer. New Northern Florida SEC to conduct major planning meeting. And KC8PD for a final. Now the stories. ARRL meets with FEMA Administrator Craig Fugit. Federal Emergency Management Agency FEMA Administrator Craig Fugit, KK4INZ, met with ARRL leadership at FEMA headquarters in Washington, D.C. last month. Mr. Fugit, an ARRL member, spoke with ARRL President Kay Craigie, N3KN, and ARRL Chief Executive Officer David Sumner, K1ZZ, as well as ARRL General Counsel Chris Imlay, W3KD, and ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U, about amateur radio's role in public service and disaster communications. Mr. Fugit wrote the following on his blog about the meeting. For those of you that are not familiar with amateur radio, or ham radio as it is sometimes referred, it is the use of certain radio frequencies as a hobby to exchange non-commercial messages, as a tool for education and experimentation, and for public service community activities, including assisting in emergency communications. As a radio amateur, I enjoyed talking with the ARRL about the contributions that hams can make in times of disaster when all else fails. Mr. Fugit also mentioned that he was looking forward to ARRL Field Day in June, where, he says, I will test my own field gear. It is a great event to encourage first responders and citizens to think about how to prepare for disasters and how to develop a plan for themselves and their communities. And perhaps it will inspire more to consider this great hobby that also has a long and legendary history of public service to the nation. We're grateful to our friends at the ARRL and look forward to partnering with them in exercises and efforts to plan, prepare, respond, and recover from future events that we may face. In May 2011, Mr. Fugit spoke at an Earthquake Communications Preparedness Forum hosted by the FCC, where he described the amateur radio operator as the ultimate backup, the originators of what we call social media. In his remarks, Mr. Fugit praised amateur radio. He said, during the initial communications out of Haiti during the January 2010 earthquake, volunteers using assigned frequencies that they are allocated, their own equipment, their own money, nobody pays them, were the first ones oftentimes getting word out in the critical first hours and first days as the rest of the systems came back up. I think there is a tendency, because we have done so much to build infrastructure and resiliency in all our other systems, to dismiss that role when everything else fails. Amateur radio oftentimes is our last line of defense. At the forum, Mr. Fugit said that he thinks we get so sophisticated and we've gotten so used to the reliability and resilience of our wireless and wired and our broadcast industry and all of our public safety communications that we can never fathom that they'll fail. They do. They have. They will. I think a strong amateur radio community needs to be plugged into these plans. Yes, most of the time they're going to be bored, because a lot of the time there's not a lot they're going to be doing that other people aren't doing with Twitter and Facebook and everything else. But when you need amateur radio, you really need them. Read all about it. CERT in action. You may read the latest news about Community Emergency Response Teams, or CERTs, nationwide in the CERT National Newsletter. This publication offers updates on the CERT program, highlights successes of local programs on the ground, and provides valuable information for current and prospective CERT programs. In the latest issue of the National CERT Newsletter, you'll find stories representing the efforts of CERT programs in four states, California, Delaware, Missouri, and Oklahoma. These CERT programs all support emergency preparedness, disaster response, and hometown resiliency in their own, and in some cases, neighboring communities. This latest edition includes stories on CERT volunteers responding to a traffic accident, a destructive tornado, and apartment fires. To view the full CERT National Newsletter and past issues, visit www.fema.gov/community-emergency-response-team-national-newsletter. Again, that's www.fema.gov/community-emergency-response-team-national-newsletter. In 2003, the ARRL became an official affiliate program of Citizen Corps, an initiative within the Department of Homeland Security to enhance public preparedness and safety. The statement of affiliation made the ARRL an affiliate under the four charter Citizen Corps programs: Neighborhood Watch, Volunteers in Police Service, Community Emergency Response Teams, and Medical Reserve Corps. New Hampshire's Ares Academy, a success. Nearly 100 amateurs from four states were in attendance for the 3rd New Hampshire Ares Academy on Saturday, March 30th at the New Hampshire State Fire Academy and Training Complex in Concord. Ares members and emergency personnel from throughout the section attended the one-day event, which featured keynote speaker Ed Browder, chairman of the Broadcast Industry's State Emergency Communications Committee. Mr. Browder's remarks focused on the history and function of the emergency alert system. After the opening address, the participants attended workshops and classes, including working with served agencies, tactical communications, a Skywarn refresher, and getting started with RMS Express, just to name a few. Students were able to choose from a list of 12 classes, ranging from 1 to 2 hours each. During the closing ceremony, newly appointed Section Emergency Coordinator Wayne Santos, N1CKM, and Assistant SEC for Operations and Training Dave Coulter, WA1ZCN, presented outgoing Section Manager and Section Emergency Coordinator Al Schumann, K1AKS, with a tribute and plaque thanking him for nearly 2 decades of service as Section Manager. Mr. Schumann plans to remain active in the ARRL field organization after stepping down at the end of June. Peter Storer, K1PJS, will become the new section manager on July 1st. Now it's time to take a short break to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Ares Audio E-Letter for April 17, 2013. Froze Toes Bike Race, Missouri Ares Group Support. Boone County, Missouri Aries, or BC Aries, provided voice and APRS communications in support of the Froze Toes Bike Race, sponsored by the Columbia Bike Club, on a cold and rainy Sunday, March 10, 2013. The race circuit was a 30-mile loop in northeast Boone County that also included some roads in Callaway and Adair counties. A directed 2-meter simplex net was set up to provide race officials with information from each of the 5 corners and the start-finish line. Self-contained APRS trackers were attached to 4 official pace vehicles and the BC Aries rover. A portable APRS digi was set up on the northern edge of the circuit to provide full-course APRS coverage. The Boone County Fire Protection District provided their mobile command center vehicle, Command 2, which provided a clean, dry, and warm location for net control and APRS map displays. One interesting incident during the afternoon races occurred when one of the serious head-down pedaling into the rain and fog riders missed turn number 3. Coincidentally, rover number 1 was not far away from corner 3 when the call came over the net for rescue. Rover 1 found the racer, still pedaling head-down, about 1 mile off course, and persuaded him to turn around and get back on course. Thanks to the participating BC Aries members, KL0VU, AB0SE, WH6EB, N0OFJ, KC0WGB, NS0Y, KE0MI, and N0AXZ. And our thanks for this report goes to Bill McFarland, N0AXZ, the EC for Boone County, Missouri Aries. Now to our letters, and the subject is batteries. A reader says, "I just read the article on batteries in the last issue." The article addresses rechargeable batteries and calls them an energy source. Rechargeable batteries are limited energy storage devices. So why is this important? In a major event, when recharging is not an option, like during a widespread power failure, rechargeable batteries become paperweights very quickly. Emergency communicators should be looking at primary cells, like alkaline cells, which can be stored for years at a time at room temperature. They work reliably, and they work independently of other energy sources. If hams set up their various radios, especially handheld radios, to work with, say, 12-volt DC sources, all kinds of options pop up. For example, the 12-volt DC battery in a car or truck can be used even if the vehicle itself has been wrecked. Granted, it's not convenient to haul a car battery along with handheld radios, but one can keep a station on the air for quite a long time at, say, a shelter. They can even be used to recharge lower-voltage nickel-cadmium, nickel-metal hydride, and lithium-ion batteries. We need to be flexible and adaptable. Something else to keep in mind is that widespread power outages often last from just a few days to a few months. Remember the aftermath of Hurricane Hugo in South Carolina. We need to be prepared for long-term outages to be useful over the long haul. Thanks to Art Feller, W4ART, retired communications officer for the Office of U.S. Foreign Disaster Assistance, Agency for International Development, U.S. Department of State in Arlington, Virginia, for his letter. Garrick, 2013, June, Zurich, Switzerland. The Global Amateur Radio Emergency Conference, or GARIC, is an annual event attended by those with an interest in amateur radio emergency communications, training, and disaster response. This year, GARIC returns to International Amateur Radio Union, or IARU, Region 1, and will be held in Zurich, Switzerland, from June 25th through June 27th. The conference has been scheduled to precede Europe's largest amateur radio exhibition in Friedrichshafen, Germany, so that attendees can enjoy both events. Information on the venue, registration fees, the tentative agenda, and the registration form may be found online at www.garec2013.ch. Now, please note, 2013 is written as the number 2013, and Garrick 2013 is written as one word. So, we have www.garec2013.ch. This conference will be open to all radio amateurs. Thanks to Stefan L. Streif, HB9TTQ, IARU Liaison Officer and Emergency Communications Coordinator, for this submission. It's time again to pause and allow stations to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for April 17, 2013. EasyPal does more than SSTV. Ed Wurst, K9EW in Westmont, Illinois, tells us, "A few years ago, I took the ARRL Emergency Communications course, and that was the first time I had ever considered that digital modes have a significant role to play during an emergency. Many types of communication modes are better suited for relaying a list or a spreadsheet than voice transmission. Lists of names and addresses, medical supplies, and sets of detailed instructions are examples. Also, some agencies have their own forms that they may want used and sent. I began to envision an agency official handing me a USB memory stick and asking me to transmit the Word document that was on it. I began to search for possible software that could meet these requirements for our DuPage County Aries, Illinois group. EasyPal does it." Vern Schultz, K9LAE, told me about EasyPal. It was being used by many operators for SSTV. But what it really does is send files. It sends JPEG, text, doc, XLS spreadsheets, and PDF files, just to mention a few. This sounded like a great fit for our Aries requirements, so Vern and I began to run EasyPal through its paces to see what we could do with it. Our first test was to send a JPEG file. We found we could send any size JPG file in about 2 minutes with SVGA quality. EasyPal automatically compresses the file size to something sensible before sending it. For example, I loaded a 1.16 megabyte picture into EasyPal. The program compressed it into a 27 kilobyte JPEG file and transmitted it in 121 seconds. This meant we could take a picture of a situation in the field with a smartphone or a digital camera, load it into a laptop, and transmit it in 121 seconds to our base of operations. This would certainly fill one of our requirements. Next, we wanted to try sending a document saved in the TXT format. I copied a weather bulletin from the National Weather Service and saved it as a text file. EasyPal transmitted the 1.85 kilobyte file in 23 seconds. This represented another requirement we could check off as being met. A Microsoft Word document, or doc file, was next. I created a one-page document with boldface, italics, underlining, indented bullets, and different sized and colored fonts. EasyPal sent the compressed 16.7 kilobyte file in 102 seconds, complete with the original formatting. There was no need to rearrange the text to resemble the original document. If it worked this well for a doc file, what would it do for an XLS spreadsheet? To find out, I created a spreadsheet with a list of shelter numbers and types of supplies. EasyPal sent this 16.5 kilobyte spreadsheet in 97 seconds, and not only was the spreadsheet formatted exactly like the original, but the arithmetic calculations still worked. We continued our testing with a PDF file of our local severe weather liaison repeater template. It was a 13.7 kilobyte multicolor diagram, including various shapes, colors, and text. EasyPal sent the files in 87 seconds, with every bit of received information an exact duplicate of the original file. But wait, there's more. EasyPal also has several standard forms built into the program. There's a blank freeform screen for entering text. This could be used for strategic conversations between EasyPal-enabled field units. There's also a form resembling an ARRL radiogram, various ICS-213 forms, and a Mars form. They all have proper formatting and blanks, which can be filled in at the sending station and printed at the receiving station. Any of these forms can be sent in under 30 seconds. A version of EasyPal that is currently under test includes a chat function with a free-form text message, which also indicates the call sign of the station sending the message. All sent and received messages are automatically stored in EasyPal folders for retrieval if needed later. And if one of the EasyPal stations has access to the Internet, any of the field stations can send and receive email with attachments through that station, called an EasyPal repeater. What a great bonus feature this is! Under the hood. EasyPal is a digital sound card program that interfaces directly with your PC or laptop. It's a single program that uses the DRM, or Digital Radio Mondiale, modulation format. It will work on HF, VHF, and UHF, and we have used it successfully through local VHF and UHF repeaters. The program uses interleaved Reed-Solomon forward error correction. We chose to use the SignalLink external sound card because it's easier to adjust levels and delay. Conclusions. EasyPal is easy to use, and it's free. The author, Eric Sunstrup, VK4AES, has been very responsive to our inquiries and requests. We are thankful for his interest and support. There are several sources of information on the Internet with instructions for using EasyPal, but we wound up writing our own EasyPal user's guide for our Aries group, which can be downloaded from dupagearies.org/memberresources.html with no spaces. Then click on EasyPal User's Guide. Let me repeat that URL. It's dupagearies.org/memberresources.html and no spaces for DuPage Aries or Member Resources. Then click on EasyPal User's Guide. And the latest version of the EasyPal software is always available for download from www.vk3evl.com. I'll repeat that URL. It's www.vk3evl.com. If you're looking for a single software tool that will send your served agency's files, take a look at EasyPal. It exceeded our expectations in being able to send messages quickly in a wide variety of formats. We again thank Ed Wurst, K9EW in Westmont, Illinois, for this valuable information. Tip: Open Source Radio Programmer. John Beatty, KF5KI in Baldwin, Missouri, wrote to tell us, "I've stumbled upon a project of an open-source tool used to program different radios called Chirp. I was searching the Internet for a utility for my FT60 Handy Talkie and came across this effort. The URL is http://chirp.danplanet.com/projects/chirp/wiki. No spaces, and no www at the beginning. So let me run that by you again. http://chirp.danplanet.com/projects/chirp/wiki with no spaces and no www at the beginning. Mr. Beatty goes on to say, I plan on evaluating and trying it out over the next couple of weeks. That's all I know for now, but it looks interesting. It's time once again to pause to allow the repeaters to identify. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. Now we'll continue with the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for April 17, 2013. New Northern Florida SEC to conduct major planning meeting. Incoming Northern Florida Section Emergency Coordinator Mike Lee, WB6RTH, will be holding a major Aries planning meeting to include the DECs and ECs from the hurricane-prone Crown District through the East Coast and East Central districts in Florida. The meeting is scheduled for Sunday, April 21st, in the Volusia County Daytona Beach area. A morning session will feature a hands-on workshop for DRATS and DSTAR applications that are in widespread use throughout the Northern Florida section. All interested amateurs are encouraged to participate. Both voice and data applications will be presented. The afternoon session will be an Aries Leadership Planning Meeting for ECs and above to be hosted by Mr. Lee and started with a meet and greet for conferees to put names and titles to their faces. Mr. Lee said, "This networking and building of working relationships are crucial to our joint success. A roundtable discussion will focus on organizational strengths, weaknesses, and experiences from around the area. A goal of the afternoon session will be to determine a strategy for interoperability between and among the various county Aries organizations. Also up for discussion will be Aries relationships with customers such as EOCs, Red Cross Shelter Managers, CERT, and so forth, as well as the implications of the new communications programs and training by the federal government for auxiliary emergency communications under the communications unit of the ICS structure. Thanks to Mike Lee, WB6RTH, the Northern Florida Section Emergency Coordinator, for this submission. And now it's time for KC8PD for a final. Amino acids. Many of you may be familiar with amino acids. There may be around 500 of them, and they are often called the building blocks of life because of the proteins that they form that are crucial to growth and normal functioning of the human body. What you may not know is that there is one type of amino acid that is problematic for us in Aries. The amino, as an acronym for Aries members in name only. Consider some of their characteristics. Quick to join, but never present when you need them. They never volunteer for events, and you'll never hear them on nets or see them at training. They seem almost invisible, but they can be easy to spot when they brandish that Aries ID card that they insisted be issued to them. They can be both corrosive and toxic. Corrosive because they dissolve even the strongest bonds that hold Aries teams together. They eat away at unit cohesion as active members question why the aminos are carried on the roster despite their lack of participation. Confidence in Aries leadership is weakened, and it loses its ability to unify group members into a single effective force. And toxic because they can poison relationships, dilute respect for Aries, both in the public eye and the amateur radio community, and, with their venomous comments and conduct, infect potential Aries recruits. These aminos are quick to display their ID cards and brag about their involvement in emergency communications. They thrive on boasting to agency representatives and public officials about how they are representatives of the amateur radio community, often while garbed in hideous outfits, displaying more logos, slogans, and symbols than a NASCAR driver. Since they have virtually no involvement in Aries activities, they often misstate the purpose, role, and methods of operation of Aries, whether at the local, district, or section level. Even worse, They tend to question and ridicule the judgment and skills of Aries leaders, despite being clueless as to why or how operational decisions are being made or implemented. Their self-assurance tends to rise in inverse proportion to their actual knowledge. Is there any good news? Yes. Just like many other acids, aminos can be neutralized. But how? Each situation may be different, but there are some common methods. The most important is that you have a well-organized Aries unit that has written operational plans, that you hold regular meetings, training events, drills, and nets, and provide your members with opportunities to be involved and feel respected and valued for the work they do. The hams in your community, agency reps, and public officials, as well as the general public, will recognize and respect your professionalism and discount the amino's unfounded remarks. Don't expect these acids to wash away quickly. It takes time and consistent effort to vanquish the last drops. Sometimes it's also best to confront problems directly. Arrange a meeting with the vexatious amino and explain what your expectations are from them if they are to continue as Aries members and what the consequences will be if they fail to meet them. Then, if they don't, you can safely terminate their membership and have the ID card returned. Sad to say that for some of them, their attacks on you might actually increase for a while, but other than for some like-minded hams, they will gradually lose their audience. No matter what, amino acids can still cause damage to your team. Watch for it, and as soon as you see it, begin dealing with it. Whether with Aries members or public officials, reach out to them, identify their issues, and immediately address them and deal with them professionally. Sometimes the most effective antacid is your credibility, which you gain and develop by making reasonable representations about what Aries can accomplish, and then following through effectively. Amino acids are a fact of life for all of us in Aries leadership. By being aware of them and prepared for them, then dealing with them promptly, your Aries team will be better and stronger. Thanks to Jim Isleward, KC8PD, the Emergency Coordinator for District 5 in the ARRL Ohio section, for these final comments to the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter. And that's the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for April 17, 2013. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The Aries Audio E-Letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2013, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.